This is Frank Sedapani with the CBS World News Roundup. As if to taunt his would-be victims, Hurricane Felix has decided to do a slow dance off North Carolina. Meteorologist and CBS News consultant Neil Frank.
It's just going to wander around off the coast there for the next maybe several days until another river develops and moves it along.
Positioned about 150 miles off the Outer Banks, Felix is creeping along at just 3 miles an hour with top wind speeds of only 75. Forecasters don't have a clue on what it will do next.
This is John Mills in Killdevil Hills, North Carolina. Gusty winds and heavy waves remain the story on the Outer Banks. But the wind isn't blowing as hard as yesterday. The surf is rough, still considered too dangerous for swimming. Thousands have evacuated. Many businesses are boarded up, expected to stay closed for at least most of the morning while people wait to see what Hurricane Felix will do. Even though the storm is still offshore, it's still damaging the beaches. Correspondent Barry Bagnato is in Virginia Beach.
As Felix lingers, concerns grow about erosion of the fragile shoreline. Don Goldstein plans emergency response in beach-blessed Northampton County.
The environment can be damaged terribly.
There is still work to do at shelters here.
I borrowed a blanket from somebody, but I
people from flood-prone areas are escaping. Rough waves can kill, so lifeguard Kelly Pritchard chases the curious away.
If they knock you down when you're out there, the current is so bad it'll suck you right out.
At the height of the summer season, David Stiller has placed a rooms available sign outside his hotel.
To be honest, we have only 5 rooms right now, full.
The economic damage is mounting. Felix is not the storm it could be, but for the people along its path, it's bad enough. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, along Virginia Beach, Virginia.
The hurricane's impact on North Carolina's tourist industry is mixed. With vacation plans abruptly canceled, some businesses are suffering. But the Hotel Dandis Hotel runs in Kinston is full up.
Last night, we were entirely filled, and we called all the way up to Raleigh trying to find people rooms. You know, we did our best to, you know, get everybody into a hotel or someplace to stay in the area.
Felix may be marking time, but this vacationer staying at a shelter on high ground is taking no chances.
I could be jeopardizing our life.
The Furman tapes, legal maelstrom that threatened to swamp the Simpson murder trial, has subsided but is sure to return full fury. David Dow has that.
With his role in the trial secure for now, Judge Lance Ito has launched himself on a fast track to what he's called one of the 3 most difficult decisions of the Simpson murder trial. He hopes to digest Detective Mark Furman's 12 hours of racially charged taped interviews by Monday, then hold hearings on their admissibility as defense evidence. CBS News legal consultant Paul Monis says the explosive nature of the material complicates Ito's decision.
It's probably very difficult for him because he knows once it comes in what it's going to do to the jury.
In fact, that will be a pivotal issue for the judge, deciding whether the tape's potential to inflame a mostly black jury is outweighed by their power to inform about Furman and the guilt or innocence of O.J. Simpson. David Dow, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Federal authorities claim a Harvard Business School dropout bilked the government out of $120 million in a Medicare scam involving more than 40 health clinics. Willie Fernandez is a spokesman for the U.S. Attorney's Office in Miami, where Akiyoshi Yamada allegedly operated.
He's a very smart businessman who did everything from setting up clinics, getting recruiters to bring people in, to bill for services that never occurred, to bill for services that were unnecessary, to give them medical equipment that they didn't need and didn't ask for.
The man who was allegedly shot by Jameel Abdullah Al-Amin, known as H-Rap Brown in the days as a 1960 political radical, is taking back his story. William Miles tells the Atlanta Journal-Constitution police and FBI agents pressured him into saying Al-Amin was the gunman. Shortly before midnight, executioners carried out the death sentence of Leon Moser, a one-time seminarian who admitted gunning down his ex-wife and 2 daughters after Palm Sunday church services in a Philadelphia suburb in 1985. The slowing economy failed to dampen Americans' appetite for imports very much, and the U.S. trade deficit expanded to a near-record $11.3 billion in June. Private economist David Blitzer.
We seem to be seeing some weakening of our trade position with Canada and with Western Europe, especially with Western Europe. This tends to be quite volatile. And as Germany's economy begins to improve later this year, our trade position with Germany should improve dramatically.
China has set off an underground nuclear test for the second time in 3 months. A foreign ministry spokesman in Beijing offered to stop the testing, but only on China's terms.
China strongly calls upon other nuclear weapon states to respond positively to China's initiative by starting negotiations immediately.
Japan and other Asian governments denounced the test. China has three more scheduled before the end of 1996. Early results from a referendum delayed until yesterday by Hurricane Felix show that Bermuda is likely to remain part of the British Commonwealth. The Long Island newspaper Newsday, which first reported an FBI informant's claim that terrorists had targeted New York's Kennedy Airport and Delta Airlines in particular for a suicide attack, now says intelligence experts have begun to doubt the story. In Pakistan, one American is believed to be among at least five climbers who were swept away by an avalanche on K2, the world's second highest mountain peak. The group included James Ballard's wife and world-class climber, Allison Hargreaves.
She knows the mountain inside out. She is or was a climbing genius. If anybody can do a Houdini trick here, Allison can. If she has died, then the weather was diabolical or something very special.
Hargreaves was the first woman to conquer Mount Everest alone and without oxygen tanks. Honoring Mickey Mantle's last wish, Major League Baseball will distribute 1 million organ donor cards at ballparks and by phone. Organ Bank spokeswoman Pam Silvestri applauds the Mantle family's commitment to the cause.
They're going to be doing a lot of incredible things in the next year and maybe longer to make sure that this message is one that stays top of mind. And yeah, they're going to be there, which I think is incredibly unselfish at this time.
Duffers who wade into the rough to retrieve a wayward golf ball may find more than they bargained for. A new study shows a high incidence of a tick-borne illness among players who go after lost balls, as opposed to those who opt to play a new one. Harvard lecturer Sam Telford says a few common sense rules would help.
Wear clothing that's appropriate, that is long, light-colored trousers, so you can see whether ticks are on your pants, and then you can brush them off. Use repellents as directed by the manufacturer. Any repellent will reduce your risk.
Shannon Faulkner, the first female cadet at the Citadel, goes to a Charleston, South Carolina hospital this morning for tests. Faulkner took ill this week during her first day of intensive military training. Doctors hope to find out why she hasn't recovered. The Citadel's Colonel Terry Leadham says Faulkner is falling behind the rest of her class.
She needs to get back with her unit to be training. The band has been training for 3 days now. I think they're on drill number 8 or something like that. The rifle company cadets are already in extensive drills.
On Wall Street, after 30 minutes of trading, the Dow Industrial Average was down 14.5 points. It's 10 past.